stay home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.
Hey guys, this is Joanna Shimonides from Love Island, and I host Access All Areas on Foodbar Radio every Thursday from 6 till 7pm. Stay the hell at home, keep your PJs on, and we'll keep you entertained. You're listening to Stay Home and Chill on Foodbar Radio, keeping you company through the coronavirus.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville on Foodbar Radio.
It is, of course, DJ Yoda, the one and only.
Yo.
You've carved out a legendary name for yourself.
Have I? I mean, Yoda was a legend before DJ Yoda existed.
He was, yeah. A lot of people, you know, will take a name and they won't be able to kind of live up to that name within their field. I'd say that you've definitely in the arena of DJing.
It's a weird name. I hate it.
And really?
I've really? Yeah, I've hated it for years. Like,
tell us more.
Well, I've had the name for like 25 years or something.
Right.
And when I first got named, it was just kind of for lack of anything else. Come up with names is really hard. Coming up with names for albums or songs or any of that stuff, I really struggle. I just had a Yoda toy by my turntables, and then my mate was like, you've got to call yourself something, just like DJ Yoda. And it stuck, but honestly, I'm not really a massive Star Wars fan.
That's going to be my next question, so we can proceed to the one after.
The worst time was when they brought that second run of movies out, the Jar Jar Binks ones.
Oh, the prequel trilogy.
And they were so rubbish, man, and Yoda was in it. I was like, come on, man, you're ruining my name here. Just enough with the Yoda, stop with the Star Wars Yoda, and let me do my thing.
Along the way, in sort of 23 years since you acquired this now unwanted name, you've done like some pretty fucking special things that I would say, you know, legendary things. For instance, how do you express the feeling of like Dr. Dre getting you to do a guest mix for him on
that's
his
crazy,
first ever show on radio?
I know, that's mad.
Do you know what I mean?
I can't really get my head around that one epic. Still. What I've tried to do is just keep it moving. My style of DJing and the kind of way that I've approached my career has been the same thing. I just get bored really quick.
Right.
I'm the kind of person that flicks channels constantly. Mm-hmm. So just to be able to do it, to keep moving, I just have to do something different the whole time. So that means a lot of time really that works with collaborations. Like I've got to work with someone different every year to keep it moving for fresh ideas and fresh energy. Otherwise, if I was just doing the same thing year on year, I couldn't have lasted this long.
Right.
So all those like crazy things that have happened and crazy places that I've been, it's been as a result of that.
Yeah. And production, where does that fit in on the timeline? Would that come before DJing or?
No, they're kind of concurrent. The very first thing that I did was have like a little sampler keyboard and like try and sample songs and kind of half DJ with them, drop samples. Sampling and production and DJing are all kind of mixed up in the same thing for me. They're all part of the same thing. And it was really weird to have to like even draw a line between them and say like, oh, this is a mixtape and this is an album.
Yeah.
My first album felt like a mixtape.
Right.
Because that's just my approach to music. Even when I'm working with live musicians, which is what I do more these days, I still think about it as samples. I still think of like, I'll sample this drummer on this bit and then I'll get this sax guy to play a bit there and chop that up and put that here. And I'm just approaching it with that kind of mentality of, yeah, DJing and sampling. So it's all kind of part of this great big soup of sampling and DJing.
Yeah. We kind of touched on Dr. Dre enlisting your services on his sort of inaugural radio show, but are there any legends that you would love to reach out and, you know, work with in some capacity?
Yeah, of course, man. Like, I can make that list forever. Like, that's how I work. I just sit down and make a list of people that I think are cool. There are some people that, in my head, they're such heroes that I almost don't want to work with them.
Right, yeah, because they
don't
want
to ruin
it. Yeah, of course.
I mean, even just for me, like, the fact that on my first album, I did two tracks with Biz Markie.
Mm.
And he was like my kind of favorite rapper growing up. So as soon as that happened, I was like, oh, shit. Like,
what do I do now?
Yeah. I've worked with my hero. My like hero of all heroes is David Lynch.
Twin Peaks.
Yeah, Twin Peaks. Everything he does, I think, is amazing. But I almost don't want to ever meet him or work with him because that would ruin it for me. And there are a few other people like that as well.
Fair play.
But yeah, there's loads of people I look up to. And yeah, I've got lists and lists of people that would be cool to work with.
Well, very recently you collaborated with Jungle Brothers.
Yeah, that's funny, actually, because what I was just saying about when I used to have that little kind of keyboard that you could sample, the very first record that I sampled was a Jungle Brothers record.
Yeah.
It was done by the forces of nature, and I took like the first lyrics from the first verse, and I was like trying to loop them up, and I had no idea what I was doing, but I was like playing around on the keyboard with those lyrics.
Yeah.
And I told Bam from Jungle Brothers that recently. I was like, man, you were like the first voice that I ever sampled.
Amazing.
I've worked with them a few times in my career, worked with them closely on
that. Must
album.
Be really nice to come full circle. Like
it really
that,
is, so, and it's like, yeah, well. But it does also leave you with that feeling of like, oh, well, what next then?
Yeah, this is true. Yeah. But I suppose you can kind of be safe in the knowledge that, again, it was organic and you're not like some kind of competition winner or something.
No, it's
you've,
not like
you've worked to get where you are. Everything you've done.
It's also not forced. It's so natural to me. Like, that is the music that I liked when I was 11. It's the music that I like now. Ian
Boltzmann. She had to get out as that Viagra kicked in.
I had to run off and do something, and I had to come back. It was quick. I did it in a minute, though. It's good.
What did you have to do?
I can't say.
Oh, tell me.
Felt some stirring.
Did you really?
No, I didn't, no.
Have you just been to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Any difference?
Not yet, no. But I reckon I didn't make me want to go running, any of that sort of thing that it said I was opposed to. But it's only been, what, 10 minutes, I think.
Although you did just run to the toilet.
Oh, I did, yeah. I wouldn't normally.
I should tell you, David Van Day's on the phone.
Oh, let's speak to him then.
You there, David?
Hi there. I know the feeling. You've got in the jungle, we had that. You had to, but there wasn't a toilet. That was the problem to run to.
No, she's. What's happened is Natalie is the producer of the show.
Ah, you've got to be nice to her then.
No, not at all. Listen to this.
Really, if only.
Listen to this. Nat.
What?
You're fucking shit.
So
see that?
You.
See that?
There we go.
You can say what you like on this show.
Yeah, watch me.
Right.
What's happened is Nat. She's wet taken. Off. No, she's. Well, not that we know. She's taken female Viagra. She got given some by a stranger in the street, essentially.
At a party.
At a party, she was given some. And like a full box of it and stuff.
Are they real pink? Are they really
they
pink?
Are pink?
They are,
yeah.
Why? Does your partner partake in these?
No, I tried it once, though, but it got stuck in my throat and I had a stiff neck for a week.
You tried. Oh, second. But this is Lady Viagra, this, so if anything, it would have loosened your throat up. Loosened your neck up. But she's taken one about an hour ago, and it's sort of seeing if it's...
Not yet.
She says nothing's happening, but she did just run to the toilet.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I will also say as well that...
I think you have to have a bit of both, something in your head going on as well.
Okay, well, Nat's also got your press release in front of her, and she's just drawn a heart next to your name, I've just noticed.
Oh, wow.
She genuinely has just drawn a heart next to your name. Although, I will tell you, rather sinisterly, she's scribbled out David... Right? It just says Van Day and she's put a heart next to it.
We just got a heart there just with VD next to it.
Pretty much. So, what are you up to?
I'm talking to you at the moment, of course.
Yeah, brilliant.
And it's always nice to talk in. Now, how are your subscriptions doing there? Have you got lots of subscriptions coming in?
Don't know. I've honestly no idea. I don't. I'll tell you, right, traditionally, because I used to do a podcast years ago, which I know, what I know was it was the number one podcast. It became the number one podcast on iTunes, right? I know that. But I don't know how many people that meant. I've never looked at it. I'll leave that to other people. So I don't know how many people are listening. Because basically all that happens is if you've got too many, you get cocky. If you've got too few, it destroys you. So I just don't even want to know.
I get it. You know, that's a case of what some people, entertainers, they sort of... start believing their own publicity.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing to do.
I am brilliant, though.
Even though he's... Yeah. Oh, you're
I am.
So modest.
No, it's not a lack of modesty. I am brilliant.
There's a hashtag
and
there,
and I am right. I am always right. That's what we worked out on the show today. It's actually trending on Twitter at the moment, I would imagine. Hashtag Ray is right.
Ken Morley's out of the house.
What?
Ken Morley's out of the Big Brother house.
Oh, live update there, some news. News at half past three with David Van Day.
I don't even know Ken Morley. Oh, no, I didn't know that.
I did know that.
That's good.
Yeah, so there you go.
Are you watching it now?
No, it's not on at the moment, but I'll probably watch it later.
David?
David? Yes?
Why did you just shout out Ken Morley is out of the house in the middle of an interview?
Well, I'm sort of, you know...
I actually want to know the process that went through your head to make that happen.
I think your listeners would like to know. I thought, you know, just chuck that in as a news item.
Yeah.
You know, keep them there.
But it wasn't
before we lose them.
It wasn't what we were talking about, was it?
Well, I wouldn't discuss it. I thought, just like a news flash, you know, like a guy, and it comes along the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd just do that for you.
Or like, sort of like, Tourette's.
Yeah.
Sort of like
Ken Morley's on the
sort of like as if you couldn't help it.
I want to get out the fucking jungle.
It was amazing, yeah. But it was like you couldn't help that then. Like you just shouted, Ken Morley is out of the house.
I couldn't help it. I'm showbiz mad.
Has he been like, has he voted out or something? What?
No,
is that...
they would have got rid of him.
No, I don't vote. Don't be silly, I wouldn't waste my money, but...
He wasn't popular.
Have you done Big Brother?
I did I Am a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is a much bigger audience, got to say. Although I was very controversial and I'm in the jungle, to be honest, the jungle doesn't need it quite as much as, say, Big Brother. I mean, if Big Brother didn't have any confrontation, they just you just wouldn't have a show.
Right.
So, and the jungle's got a bit more activities going on. In fact, you know, Big Brother have nicked most of the, you know, the ideas from that anyway to put into the new formats and things.
But Big Brother predates Amazon Episode, doesn't it?
Mm.
Well, it does as an observation sort of study of people locked in a sort of small space.
No, but the actual programme predates it. I think the programme of Big Brother definitely predates I'm a Celebrity.
Yeah, but Celebrity gets 12 million people a night in late November every night for 2 weeks.
Right.
And Big Brother might get 2 million.
But at its peak, it would have got more. I don't mind defending either of them. I think they're both dreadful.
No, I would do it. I would do it. They've approached me to do it, and they'll, you know, they come and go. You know, with you up for it, would you do it, you know, and all that.
I always get the feeling with you, David, that you want to do these things like that. And
well,
that...
I've got my impression, I do it for the money. But
is that
I also,
okay?
Yeah, so that's the first thing. Second thing is I've got no reputation to lose. So from that point of view, some of the shows, I mean, I'm looking at, say, let's look at this Big Brother one. I don't think there's anyone that's got a reputation to lose in there, to be honest.
I don't know who's on there.
Maybe Nadia, I don't know, maybe slightly.
Oh, I see. So you mean people who...
Who actually participated in the show. So when I do these shows, I know that I can be under the microscope, sort of humiliate myself, bearing in mind I will do it to get as much laughter out and fun out of it as possible.
Right. I just realised that I said I don't know who's in there, and I actually do. I don't know why I was trying to be cool and say I don't. I do know. Because I saw a bit of the launch night. And then I decided, because Katie Hopkins was on it,
they're not going to watch
it. I decided that I'm actually not going to watch
it. That's what I've done. Until she's out.
I'm not engaging it at all.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because I loved it last year. I loved Celebrity Big Brother last year. That was amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
And who won that? It was,
Davidson.
No, Gary Busey won the last one.
Oh, there's been one since then.
Yeah, there's been another one since then. Yeah.
PC. Jim Davidson.
Yeah.
PC. You know. So I was reading an interview the other day. I think it was John Motson, who's a football pundit. And he was being interviewed by Piers Morgan. He said, if we live in a world of free speech, why are we so worried about PC?
It's a huge discussion, this. And it's not one that I anticipated having with David Runder.
No, okay, you can leave it.
Well, no, but I think because what free speech doesn't, well, does and doesn't cover is that you have to take responsibility. You have to acknowledge that the things that you say can upset people. Yeah, you can say it if you want, but why do you want to? And why would that be a thing? So why I hear what you're saying with Motson and that, I do think the freedom of speech argument is often something that ignorant people use to go, oh, it's not really freedom of speech, is it not? It's like, well, it is freedom of speech. It's
yeah,
just that
I think it's a
you
bit
should
like
choose not to.
You're being disrespectful sometimes when you know that somebody might be hurt from it.
Yeah. Mm.
Why do you want to use it? It's a good question. Is it because you want to be disrespectful, which is not a nice thing to be?
Yeah, and if it's not for that reason, then why on earth do you need to be saying this word?
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. I'm all for hurting well, people's feelings,
on,
by the way.
You and I?
I don't. No, we're not. All right.
All right. Well, yeah, don't spoil your image. Don't want to spoil your image now.
No.
I've got on well with David Van Day.
No, do you know what, man? I'm not bothered about my image. That would, like, confuse me in my own life.
It would be over.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
It's Nabila, hello.
Hi, Nabila.
Nabila, sorry.
Nabila.
Sorry.
Love
Island. Oh, Diana, how was it for you? How was the whole thing?
The whole thing, it was a massive experience, and I describe it as being inside your TV set. So before you go in, they say to you, like, it's going to be weird first 24 hours, and it is weird, because it's a set, isn't it? And you're living in this set, but then you get used to it.
Is it bright lights? Can you hear the cameras go, eh?
Outside, there are little cabins. They try and make it kind of incognito, but
it's like
you
bird spotting or something.
Kind of, yeah. And then they open this hatch, the cameramen, and you could hear it sliding. So you kind of know if you're saying something juicy that they want to hear it, because you can hear it, the doors go, and then they're like, oh, I'm saying something, and then you've got to carry on with the conversation.
Yeah,
like
pretend
that.
It hasn't happened.
Pretend it hasn't happened, yeah. But other than that, you do forget that the cameras are there. And inside, I can describe it as like CCTV-esque type looking
cameras.
Yeah, the
big white cameras.
Those are the ones.
Oh my God. But when you got the call to say you were on it, what was it like? I mean, to say that you actually are... Because there's so many people
I actually said no. Because Casa Amor is a hard one, and you've got to get to know me kind of personality. And so with Casa Amor, you've got a few days to really prove yourself to the boys and the public as well. And you've got to compete with five other girls. So I actually said no. And then my friends were like, Nabila, this, you know, you're going to be 30 next year. Just do it. And it's true. I don't think I'd want to do that at 30. Nothing wrong with being 30, but
you
I just
don't look it. I have to say, you look fabulous.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that actually that Love Island comes under fire for a lot, right? Like, everyone's like, 20, Lizzie.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is Joe from Love Island.
Really?
Oh. I'm on the radio, Joe. So sorry.
Hi, Joe.
They did come under fire.
Did you love Joe? I used to say.
I only saw him at the reunion. I was like, hi, Joe. And we had a little chat, but I didn't
adore that boy.
Yeah, so how long are we actually in for?
So 4 days, one chill day. We were actually meant to go in on a Wednesday, and then all the girls were shared the same hotel, but they hid each other from us, so
right.
It was so hard. One person had to make sure we didn't catch each other.
Oh my God.
And they were like, you're going in on Wednesday, so I had my last sleep. I was like, yes, freedom, like 3 days of like being locked in a hotel room. And then that evening they were like, really sorry, but actually we're actually holding you for another day. We don't want to put you in.
and
it was just like, no, another 24 hours of being locked in a hotel
room. Yeah, I bet. It can be a nightmare.
No phone either.
I mean, was it hard? I've got to ask, because, you know, the boys didn't turn, and what were you feeling?
Oh,
did
my
you
God.
Not like any, or did you feel for any, or
do you
I
know
mean,
what
is that feeling like? Because it must be tough.
Yeah, I know, but they've got such a good welfare team, and I had a huge chat with Curtis, because it did actually get to me, because after the first day I got there, I was like, boys, I'm not sharing a bed with you. I'm just not that girl on the first date. It's not a big deal, but I just want to get to know someone first before I share a bed with them.
That's normal, isn't
it?
Not on Love Island. On Love Island, you've got to go straight in there, or otherwise you're out. You can't move like that. So, especially as a Casa Amor girl, so the other five girls are quite happy to do that. Well, actually, yeah, they were. I just made it very clear to the boys, and so that like kind of set me back. And then I did start getting a little bit upset, and then Curtis sat me down. He was like, name five things you like about yourself. And I was like, no, like obviously I'm just like not good enough, blah blah blah, because it's weird in that villa.
I bet
emotions are so heightened, and you start,
it's like a pressure cooker,
yeah,
isn't it?
And being in bed alone as well, I never understood it, but you do feel really single when you're in the bed alone, because everyone shares a bed.
Yeah, I bet.
And so he sat me down, and he helped me think of five things that I like about myself. Oh. And he made me say it 20 times meant it. And he was like, you've got to believe in yourself. And then even when I left the villa,
that's
they were
really
like, you
sweet.
Need to exit. He's like, be confident, Nabila. Make sure you're confident. So, yeah, I got help in there. But it
you
was
see, that
hard.
Is so true.
Yeah.
He's having a bit of a tough time with it, Curtis, since he's come out. It's like,
I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think he's
well,
having
you're,
a tough
time?
What you
cookie.
Said about what you said about him and Tommy kissing kind of got picked up.
Oh my God!
Did that happen? We want to know.
Basically,
did Curtis
there
and
was,
Tommy
did,
kiss?
There was the game where we were against Casa Amor, and they accidentally text saying one boy has to kiss another boy. Can't remember the ins and outs of it, but I know that they were meant to say one boy has to kiss another girl. And so they just snogged, and then the producers were like, that was an accident. So they snogged, but it was literally, I didn't mean it in that way, because of what's come out.
Yeah, yeah,
it gets
yeah.
And also, and twisted.
And because what's happened with Curtis and what happened with him on his interview on Good Morning Britain,
yeah,
and
I heard
stuff,
about that.
It's all been a bit.
Explain to people that didn't know what happened with that.
Well, they were keeping at him saying, are you bisexual? Are you bisexual? And he was going, I don't want to label it. I don't want to label it. So obviously, it doesn't look very good.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah. But it doesn't look very good on the GMB presenters to like try and force someone to come out.
Oh my God, that's so true.
But can I say, talking about snogging,
yeah,
there's been reports.
I know.
His name's Michael. I've met Michael.
Michael?
And
don't
he's
you
charming.
Know Michael?
Oh my God, listen, I'm going to be honest. When I watched him on the show, I thought he's a douchebag. Can
no,
I say that
so
word?
So lovely.
Of course.
And then I met him at this morning show. He was in his dressing gown that had nothing to do with it. And do you know what? He was a gent.
I spoke to him
was
this
adorable.
Morning, and I was like, I'm going to tell everyone on ice. It's the last thing I do because
actually there were people there, and they were like, oh, we don't like Michael. And I said, no, please speak
people?
To him.
Who?
What? Many from journalists, producers,
what?
And they went, no, because of how he behaved.
Aww. He actually gets really upset about that.
And you know what?
He
was so sweet.
Soul.
He's a sweetheart. I wouldn't say that. You know me, Stephen. I wouldn't say
it. No.
And he was... Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot has to do with editing because you only have an hour.
Yeah.
And it is edited down and you know...
But even me, I got a bit of stick. When I came out, I heard that apparently I went, do you want a girl or a woman? And, like, it was said in jest and a little bit of, like, a bit of attitude. And then I got all these people being like, who do you think you are? And it's just how things are edited because a lot of my time was just me goofing around.
Jared Christmas on Fubar Radio.
Rhys Darby's in the house! Yeah. You're not from the 80s, you're 70s, surely.
Early 80s.
Yeah, but I was starting to get a bit of notoriety by the 80s.
What, by the age of what, 11?
Yeah, round about when Indiana Jones was coming out, Temple of Doom.
Yeah. Guys, Temple of Doom's amazing, but have you heard about this kid in New Zealand? We did an awful kids TV show for CBBC together. When was that? Like 2006?
Was it?
It was worse than that, mate.
We were sort of roving reporters, weren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, actually, we were mega fans or something of the host.
Yeah, who was Reggie Yates.
Oh, Yates.
Oh, Yates, wow. Not Watts. I keep going to say Watts as well. We had some great ideas, didn't we? Yes, we did. We were screwed over by powers above. The whole thing was we had to try and teach kids things and get stuff in return to put on the truck for other kids to win. But we were rubbish at what we were doing, so we'd just get half-eaten packet of crisps.
So we got crappy stuff.
Yeah, but remember we went to that football place to teach kids how to do gold celebrations, right? And we were told they were going to be like 5 and 6 year olds. And we get there and they're 16 year olds. Full of attitude. I had to dress up as in a mascot thing. And one of them kicked the ball in your face and broke your glasses.
Yeah, very upset.
Yeah, you walked then.
I'm out.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm in this huge crocodile costume. As I arrive, Reese has already gone, sit in the car going, no, I'm not doing this. I'm done. I'm done.
Over the trailer, no, quite rightly. Just in the car.
They were lying to us the whole time. All day they're going, it's going to be 6 year olds. It's going to be fun. And then we show up and they're 16 year olds. So they don't tell me what's happened to Reese.
Oh, no.
And then they don't tell me what they've got planned for me, which is they say, here's the ball, kick it in the goal, then do a goal celebration. I was like, oh yeah, cool, I can do that. You know, I'm in this big costume and I do it. And my goal celebration was to do a half sort of worm in a big costume. And I achieved it, felt pretty good. What I didn't know was that director had told all the 16-year-olds, just do a pile-on.
Just run in and pile on.
So they all came in feet first. Knocked the crocodile head off me.
Wow.
So I'm in total fetal position as about, I don't know, 20, 16-year-olds just pile on, just kneeing me and punching me and stuff. And I'm just going, where's Reese?
Yeah.
Where's Reese? He's in the car, mate.
I'm in the car looking the other way.
Yeah.
Not just anyone's car. It was anyone's car. I just jumped in someone's car.
Yeah. Just wherever it was safe.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You've moved on from those days, haven't you, Reese?
Yeah, let's not dwell with this. No. 10 minutes on that. I've got to go in a minute. Can't we talk about my successes?
Where did you go after that, mate? What did we have next?
Well, obviously, Flight of the Conchords.
Flight of the Conchords, of course. But then it was Flight of the Conchords radio series first day.
Yeah, but that must have been happening around about that same time because we did the pilot, the TV pilot, I'm sure, was 2006.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing the radio show might have been 2005, 2006. I can't, all my years are mixed up. No. You know how messy we were back in those 20s?
Yeah, didn't even have a diary.
Yeah, I know. Not just that.
That was a good party.
Yeah, but the radio series happened before the TV series, didn't it?
Yes, that's right.
And you had to change heaps for the TV series because in the radio you were Brian Nesbitt.
Yes, that was my creation. You know, I was very happy with it. When they did the American TV show, it was under a different jurisdiction.
Always
you know,
they were best, don't they? American TV.
Well, you know, they wanted to detach themselves from the BBC radio series as much as possible. So, you know, you didn't get to reprise your role.
No, I know.
Mm. People don't know Jared was in the Flight of the Conchords radio series.
Yeah. Doing this.
He was a DJ.
I was a DJ. Seriously, I've had it quite a few times where people haven't said, say fish and chips, they've said, say band meeting.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Say Brett and Jermaine. Brett and Jermaine. Say Brett and Jermaine.
Say Brett.
Yeah.
Present.
Yeah, I get say Brett a lot. I never understand it. Say Brett. Okay, Brett. what about it? But it's funny for them.
Yeah. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, why can't you say Jermaine?
Well, apparently Jermaine's
saying
not funny.
Brett is funny or something. I don't get it because I'm just saying the word that I always say.
Of course.
They're laughing at it.
And, of course, the recent one has been your Netflix success of Short Poppies.
Yeah, that's my new series. You guys should check that out.
My favourite, Bruce Napier. He was good. Yep. Bill Napier. Bruce Napier. Who's Bruce Napier?
That's his brother.
His lesser known brother. And you play two ladies.
Yes. Very well, actually. Yeah. Which was scary. Three sisters and a mother and my nana who all brought me up in a very ladylike fashion. So I had a lot of... there's a lot of lady in me. So Dad sort of took off early, so I didn't really have so much of the fathership.
Yeah.
But one brother, he just used to laugh at me and call me Weasel. And then he'd go off and ride his motorbike. He was 9 years older. I was the baby of the family. So I was thinking about the other day, as far as a father goes, I was raised by six men, Monty Python. Those guys were my dads. Right. I was obsessed by Monty Python growing up. When I went and saw them live the other day, kind of was quite emotional for me.
Yeah,
because
bit.
I felt that they really were my father figures. That's who I am today. That's how they sort of shaped me and modelled me.
Tuesday Takeover with Josh from the Skins on Foo Bar Radio.
Hello and welcome. What's going on, everyone? My name is Josh from the Skints. Here is your Tuesday Takeover presenter on Foo Bar Radio right now. Got some friends coming in, some guests, some jokes, some folks. We're going to have a good time. If you don't know about the Skints, that's my band. We are four punk rock kids that started a band a very, very long time ago, all the way back in 2007. And somehow, along this mad journey of life, it's become what we do. So here we are, coming up. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got none other than Jamie Rodigan in the studio.
Oi, oi.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. Thank you very much for coming on my first ever foray into radio DJing.
Yeah, man.
I know it's something that you're a dab hand at yourself, so we're in the hot seat. What's going on, bro? Man.
I'm good, bro. I'm good. Busy.
What you been up to in the last week or so?
Last weeks? Well, we saw each other on Sunday a couple of days ago.
Initially, what I wanted to ask you, if you could tell the people what, you know, you as a DJ, as a producer, music in general, if you could sort of share, you know, your early life experiences of that, you know, how you got into any of the music you're into, but obviously I know you as a serious dancehall guy.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know, I mean, Jamie's tastes are wide, but I've seen this guy bully up sets on an absolutely raggo dancer one. So yeah, if you could get into that.
Yeah, man. I mean, music is obviously a big part of my family. My dad is David Rodigan, a DJ from, you know, 70s. You know, music is a big part of the family. My mom loved Rare Groove, so she's right up to speed with everything nowadays as well. And yeah, just listening to kind of like a lot of dancehall, a lot of reggae singers like Gregory, Dennis Brown, you know, like Sugar Minot, Studio One, going to like Dub Vendor, going to Jetstar every Sunday, and just being a part of, you know, the whole thing, the whole movement.
It's kind of a thing of where it's literally like it's so normal to you that you can't even think of getting into it. Or was there a song, maybe as you were getting a little bit older, and that was sparking your own tastes, that was kind of making you want to get into this thing rather than just being so like normalized by the super musical environment that you grew up in?
I mean, I love like jungle. I used to listen to like, you know, Jungle Mania. I had all those CDs and I was kind of like, my brain was kind of switching on to that sound a bit as well.
But was, like, was that from like school? Or
yeah,
like
that was
local
like,
thing?
Yeah, that was school. Like,
you grew up in West London,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I grew up in West London. But a song that actually kind of did it for me was like Pinchers, Bandolero. It was like 92, 93.
All Gringos and Pacero.
That's the one, yeah. And it was just like, because it just was kind of different to your average dancehall song. It kind of like, you know, and what he was singing about. And his actual voice itself was so unique at that era. And, you know, Jammy's production. And so, yeah, definitely like a song like that was.
Wow.
Like,
how old were you when that came out?
I must have been like eight or something.
Yeah, wow. That's wild, man. Yeah. All right, Jamie, thank you very much, sir. Well, if you want to stick around, have a drink with us. We've got some more friends coming in.
Yes.
We're joined in the studio by none other than Holly Cook. Make noise.
Hello. Hiya.
So, Holly, you're someone that is very well-toured, well-seasoned on the road, and you're, for a reggae artist as well, or, you know, an artist in the reggae world, I should say, someone that's really not afraid to, like, tour and play outside the box. You were out with Kaiser Chiefs earlier this year. That's an absolute mazza. What can you tell us about that one?
I can tell you that I don't think that Kaiser Chiefs fans really understand Holly Cook. But you don't know until you try. And we did. And I'm sure that maybe, you know, we got about five people engaged every night to
I'm sure it was much more than that. I'm sure it was much more than that.
See, you know,
sorry, Kaiser Chiefs fans. If you do like the Kaiser Chiefs, we know that you would definitely
love
Hollywood.
Nothing against the Kaiser Chiefs. I consider them to be very open-minded people.
Yeah.
It was an interesting time, I will not lie. But, you know, you've done supports as well. Sometimes it is just a bit weird.
Completely, yeah.
Just, you know, when you try and engage. And some people are genuinely just not interested in you.
I think it's crazy as well. I think that, like, the bigger the band that you're opening up for, the harder it is as well.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's
we've opened up for, like, a ton of, you know, small to medium sized bands with like hardcore followings and like had instant wins, and then you open up for someone that's like, you know, either in the charts or has a serious following, and it's like, we have come to see this band.
We've
come to see this band.
What
do you think you are, playing music like before my favorite band?
Get out of here, man.
100% that.
We're joined by the lovely man that is Vooch. Hello, mate.
Yo, what are you saying?
How do you... Is it Vianic?
You know what? I've had this issue. I don't think I went into my online career thinking about how I'm going to market myself.
Nah.
And the surname thing has been an issue.
Yeah.
Because you say it correctly, Vujanic.
Vujanic.
The J is a Y, like, you know, like Ljungberg.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So the J is a Y.
Yeah.
And then when I started making videos and stuff, and people were like, oh, what's your name? It'll be Vujanic. You know where that leads to.
Yeah.
And it kind of becomes a bit... And then I've just gone with Vooch now. I'm like, just call me Vooch.
Yeah.
And then even I kind of accepted, like, oh, it's Vujanic. Yeah. Yeah, what's your name, David? I'd say Vujanic.
Oh, right.
It's crazy. You start believing what people tell your name is.
You should just went with David Owen. That's what Spencer done, isn't it?
Wait, his surname's Owen, though, right?
No.
Wait, what?
Yeah, bitch.
Wait. No. Spencer Owen, his surname isn't Owen.
Nah.
It's the fourth wall being brought down.
Why is his name Owen then?
What is his last name? Carmichael Brown.
Wait, now get out of here.
Yeah.
He knows. Fuck off. This is sick.
You can
swear what
you want
on radio.
You can say what you want.
Fucking hell. This is amazing.
Fucking hell.
I can't. Wait, how can we do this? What's the legalities? Why are we allowed? Like, this is amazing.
You can say anything you want. You just can't libel as someone. So you can't say David Cameron
is a
pig.
Okay.
You can say allegedly fucked a pig.
I got you.
Yeah.
It's just the laws of the land.
You know what? I clocked as well. I was just chilling, looking at the logo of FUBAR.
Mm.
Don't you think it looks a bit like Pornhub? Ooh. Like, from here, if you look at it here...
I can't say I've ever been on.
What is this, Pornhub?
I've got that on the mic.
Okay, yeah, a little bit.
If you're, like, from here. But anyway,
that's
an obscure angle.
Pornhub? I've never...
It's like Brazzers.
Dot com.
No, do you know what it's meant to be?
Fake taxi.
Do you know what it's meant to be?
Well, nah.
He's flipping you off.
Are you serious?
He's flipping you off.
Yeah.
Is that what it's meant to be?
Yeah.
Two of them sandwiched in it.
Oh, wait, is that why it's FU as well? Like FU.
Nah.
Fucked up beyond all recognition.
Wait.
It's an army term.
It's a war term.
I still feel like I'm conditioned to be PC when on radio.
No.
So just, I want to swear,
that,
but
fuck that.
This is amazing.
What job could I get?
This is actually sick.
So basically, we're just going to be throwing you some questions, find out a bit about you.
Jordan.
Will already knows everything because you're a big fanboy, aren't you?
They do this with everyone. But I am a big fan of Vooch.
Cheers, bro.
I always have to say that, like, I am a big fan, but I'm not a massive fan. But then I have to counteract it, and then I start digging a hole, which I'm doing now.
You just feel like a prick.
You can be a fan of people. I just appreciate it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but Jack does it all the time with everyone.
Or is it chance to embarrass you?
Yeah, what?
Come
yeah.
on, Jack. But Jack's got that cynical humour, though.
Yeah. Mm. Or just annoying.
Or that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Discuss.
5,000 characters. Discuss. Yeah, so we're just going to be doing a little bit of a cheeky interview, and then we're going to go on to football.
My little thing.
What's your little thing?
What's that?
King Baby.
You've actually done some words today.
It's King Baby.
Oh, let's do King Baby now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as the theme of the show is going to be British, St. George's Day, Royal Birthday. We spoke to the Queen earlier.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's
big up Queensy.
Exactly.
She was having a right ball, weren't she? I still can't believe all my money. Come on, it's been long enough, Queen. You just don't get over something like that.
90.
I can't label. Let me not go into that. Never mind.
You say what you want. Allegedly.
I like that allegedly. I mean,
that's the key word, allegedly.
Yeah.
Everything.
King Baby George is now the king. And I wanted to ask you guys, if you were King Baby George,
Right.
What would you do for these things?
All right.
So the first one I'm going to ask you was, what would be the first law you lay onto the land?
So
you're 7 years old.
I'm 7 years old, so I wouldn't...
In your time.
Okay. In my time.
Or however you've written it.
Right, so, like, because 23-year-old me would obviously choose things that 8-year-old me wouldn't choose.
Obviously.
Yeah, okay, so 8-year-old me, I'd make every kid have the right to get your own back.
You remember
that?
Yeah.
Get your own back. You remember the TV show, Get Your Own Back?
Dave Benson Phillips. How old are you guys?
I'm 23.
25.
So am I.
25.
Get Your Own Back.
Dave Benson Phillips. Maybe I just didn't own a TV then. I don't know.
And they used to gunge, like they used to bring their teachers on.
I do remember gunge. Is that 50-50?
50, similar, like,
same time.
Same era.
Same era.
If you're watching 50-50, I think you're watching Get Your Own Back.
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, 100%.
I'm going to pretend I know what you're talking about.
All right, cool. So you know Get Your Own Back?
Yeah.
What's the presenter's name on that again?
Dave Benson Phillips.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
That's three first names.
Yeah.
Dave Benson Phillip.
No? A bit like mine, Jack Carl Dean.
Mm.
Well, that's very
exotic.
Common.
Yeah.
Jack Carl Dean.
Jack. What is it? What's your surname?
Dean, D-E-A-N.
That's, yeah, very...
Very bland, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit.
Jack Carl Dean should not pull off salmon pink.
If BNP did
names. It's a bit royal.
Is it?
Like EDL royal.
Allegedly.
I wouldn't be on the show. Allegedly.
So I would give every kid the chance to gunge their teachers, gunge their pet. They wouldn't have to reply and say, please, Dave, just get the right. Get the right.
I
assume that's how you get on the show. Please, Dave.
Please, Dave, let me do it.
Yeah. Will, what would you do? What would be your law of the land?
I've gone for a compulsory nap time.
Oh.
Come on. Yeah, you don't need a nap time. That's the time
Are you joking?
That's the time in your life when you've got the most energy. You're in the ball pit.
Why have you got the most energy? Because you're napping.
Ooh.
You go big, then you nap. Then you go big again, then maybe you have another nap.
And then you have a cookie.
Yeah, then you have a cookie, yeah? I'm thinking compulsory nap times. I'm thinking about... Oh, nursery three.
But then that could backfire on you.
Why? How?
Because what about...
Wet the bed.
What about if you're eight, yeah? And you spot, like, a nice little eight-year-old girl.
Oh,
no, wait.
Allegedly.
Things are heating up.
Right.
Okay.
And then, oh, compulsory nap time. You've got to go to bed.
Yeah, but
I'm speaking to Jessica from Rugrats over it.
Jessica, there's a nap time.
All true.
Right, let's move on.
Yeah. Hey, move on.
That was strange.
Yeah, it was.
This show is strange.
You've smutted,
man. You guys are taking it to places I've never been.
Nap time.
Come in.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville on FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. I'm Natalie Gale, and today my co-guest star
Terry Walker.
Hey, babe.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm really good. It's lovely to meet you today.
And you,
time.
Yes.
And we should mash.
We've got Jay Wan in the building.
Jay
Wan,
Coventry Spiners.
Yep.
You're right, mate. Yes.
I'm calm, man. I'm feeling good right now.
Tell us what you're drinking.
Yes. Tell us what you're drinking.
I'm drinking Magnum and Pineapple Bigger. This drink is so. Nice. I was listening to this, yeah. I beg you to try it.
Listen, Pineapple if you can bigger. See his face right now, like his eyes are waving.
Hey, he's emotional about it.
He's like, yeah, this is nice.
It's so nice. It's so nice for real.
So it just flowed.
Yeah.
It's just flowed. It's flowed, bro.
So this track, Becky. I've just literally just listened to it. I came in to see you in the room and I was like,
hey,
yo, listen to your song. So
chill. Everyone's gassed. Do you know what it is, yeah? Because you see good vibes. Yeah. That's like a summer song.
Yeah.
And it's a whole different vibe. And then when I released Becky, people were like, what? Swear down. And then it just caught Bear people's attention. And then, yeah.
Because you put a little trailer on Instagram first, didn't you?
Yeah, I put a trailer on Instagram.
Little teaser.
Comments were a lot.
Comments were bare. Like 3,000 comments and like 250,000 views.
Jeez,
wow. And I was thinking, raw, this is mad.
What is that feeling though when you see that happening? When you see that happening, like obviously it's not something you put up a track, you know how you feel about it, but when you put it out and then you get everyone's reaction, what is that feeling? How does
it
that feel?
It just feels like a relief and it feels so good because people are there seeing it, so it just feels like a massive relief, like yes, it's out.
Yeah.
It's out there. And the fact people even like it is just a mad blessing, and I'm just grateful.
Yeah, because what's the tune about? Because you're just in the studio with your boys.
J1 taking a trip to Knots to link Becky. That's what the song is about. It's based on a true story, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
So where is she?
Oh, Becky, where are you at?
Is that you?
Where are you at?
I'm not Becky. Bitch, I ain't Becky. So where's Becky?
She's in Nottingham at the moment.
So is Becky your...
No.
Oh, oh.
No, no, okay. No.
But could be, potential?
No.
Okay, I'm going to listen to song then properly, so I need to understand. That's it's not like a Beyonce with Becky. Becky with the good hair type.
No, yeah, she's just a close friend.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
But, yeah.
But do you want it to be more than a close friend at some point? I have to ask this question.
It might be friends with benefits, but...
Hey! Yeah. Oh, she don't want to hear that. She does not want to hear that online.
No, she wants to hear it.
No!
She don't mind hearing it.
Oh, sorry. Oh, it's them type of friendships. Okay. Yeah, right, sorry.
That's hilarious.
She wants to hear that. She wants to hear that.
That was deductive.
Mad.
So you were born in London, weren't you?
Born in London, yeah.
But you moved to Coventry.
Moved to Coventry.
May I ask...
transition. You know what it was like? London is just so expensive, and like my parents were just like, "No, we can't live here."
Yeah.
And then it's mad because they told me a week before that you're moving to Cov, and I was like, "Where's that?" I was thinking, "Where's that?" I was 17.
But
I'm 22. I moved when I was 17, and I was so young, and obviously it was a thing where I just had to do it.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't have that power to say, oh, I want to stay here.
Yeah,
in my own yard. Yeah. Like I was 17.
Guess.
The thing is, that's kind of like an age-defying time as well. 17, yeah. That's kind of when you
don't
want
to be told what to do. Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
So the scene was it different? Obviously, you went to Coventry, a completely different scene.
It was so different. Like, when I moved, the first year, I hated it. I can't lie. I had no friends. I wasn't even doing music. I just hated it. Didn't like it at all. I remember the first time I moved, I went to the shops to see how people speak. Because it's different, isn't it? You see how we say that?
Like,
right, so you see how we say mum.
Yeah.
They'll say mum.
Mum.
Do you know what I mean? Like M-O-M, but we say M-U-M.
Yeah.
It's a bit more West Country, isn't it? Coventry, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't even know. I thought I knew where it is, but obviously I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, Birmingham. I thought it was near Oxford. I
was
like...
Same thing.
Okay.
But I'm glad I moved, though. I'm glad I moved because that's where I started doing music.
Okay. So you had more time, I guess.
Yeah.
So did you start making friends up there and stuff?
Yep. Started making friends up there in college. And then,
because you came from London, you're like, yo, I'm so wavy up here.
I thought I was the man when I moved. I thought I was the man. I was thinking, what? I'm from London.
I'm from London.
I thought I was the man, but nah, it's calm out there.
Do you know what? Up north, trust me, they make some wicked music because they're so easy. They don't care about stuff. So there's no one's watching you, innit? Everyone's just getting on with their thing. Whilst in London, I think everyone's kind of a little bit more.
It's true.
I got mine. It was more inclusive,
isn't
it? So
yeah.
Exactly. I feel like if I made music whilst I was being in London, it would have been harder to blow, if that makes sense. Because no one there really does music. So then when I've done it, people were like, rah, who's this guy? He's coming with a different flow, different accent. Thinking, rah. And then I just grabbed their attention in Cov. And then other people were like, rah, who's this guy? And then, so I just feel like it was all planned. God's plan.
Do you find as well that you're more friendlier because of it, like in the sense that you're more open to being accepting, receptive of other people's energies?
Definitely agree with that.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
We've got the very lovely. We're going fast and furious today.
This show, I can't keep my hat on. Sorry.
We've got the very lovely Lauren Bannon from The Voice. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
So you made it to the final.
I did, yeah.
What has life been like for you since?
God, it's been a little bit crazy. I've been working on my single and my EP and doing other various things, getting to go to lots of lovely glamorous parties, which I'm very excited
about. Do you like those parties? I don't like parties.
Do you not?
No.
Maybe it's because I'm a noob. Maybe it'll wear off. I'm loving it.
No, I'm addicted to them. It's terrible.
I see what you did there.
Yes. But now, Ollie Murs, there was lots because you had a very, like, what? Chemistry, I suppose. You got on so well, didn't you?
It was a little bit misjudged.
It was totally misjudged.
What happened? Tell us.
Oh, bless. No, do you know what? He could have chemistry with a potato, couldn't he? Let's face it. It's Ollie. But it was quite funny because there was a few times where people obviously misconstrued it. And there was actually a newspaper that had totally got it wrong, not done any of their research. Obviously skipped out the part that I'm very, very happily married to my wife and I've been with her for 8 years.
Oh,
I mean that was bit of a boobie there. Is that the sun?
It was the. Am I allowed to say?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Well, it started off with the Star,
right? Okay.
And then it got picked up by a couple of other websites, a couple of magazines, or something like that. And it was just this story. They just went with the whole chemistry going. What's going on between Lauren and Ollie?
I remember reading it at the time.
But there was chemistry. I mean, you could feel it off the TV screen.
But then, what she said is you can have chemistry with your handbag. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. To be fair, I'm a big flirt as well, so I've pretty much got chemistry with everyone and everything, apparently, too. So my wife won't mind me saying that.
And Ollie obviously knew the situation.
Yes, yeah. He'd met my wife and thought she was lovely.
And how was she about the whole thing? Was she cool or was she thinking?
She was like, so, baby daddy? No, I'm joking. But
not a bad idea, sorry.
Yeah, to be fair.
Good genes.
Yeah, you'll be able to see
her. Definitely.
I mean, he's got quite a forehead on him, though, isn't he? Or Ollie.
He could watch Sky Sports.
He's a beautiful man, Ollie, if you're listening. Beautiful man.
No, he is a beautiful
man. Oh, very beautiful.
But he gets...
And you know what? I've interviewed Ollie a few times, and actually, he's... really lovely. Like, he's actually like a nice person.
So genuine.
Very easy to get on with. And
He's a genuinely lovely, likeable boy.
Have you kept in touch at all?
Yeah. He's messaged me quite frequently, which is not what I was expecting. I kind of, it is, because you kind of go for the one that you think you'll have a connection with, friendship with. And I mean, I don't know about the other coaches. I'm not going to badmouth anyone.
Well, Jennifer Hudson's back to America, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, she don't care about the UK until she's back. Her feet are on UK ground. No, but Ollie's actually been really good, and I know some of my other contestants, I know he's kept in touch with them as well.
That's
so
really good.
He is a
And they didn't have
guy.
To do that, right?
No. It's not, oh, God, no. He could be like, blocked, dead, done. You didn't win for me, so you're over.
You did manage to get to the final.
I did, yeah.
How was that whole experience?
Oh, my God, it was amazing. Like, if I could go back and do it all again, I 100% would.
Were you nervous? I mean, because people say it's very different when the TV, you know, when you know your television. I know you perform all the time, but when you know it's TV, you get that fear.
In a weird way, like, yes and no. Obviously, like... you know, your body fills with this kind of electric kind of feeling and adrenaline, and you know that sort of thing takes over, but you rehearse it so many times that I almost feel like I was less nervous about doing those gigs than often the ones that, you know, you've just got to go out and gig and you don't know what the sound's going to be like, and you don't know what the crowd's going to be like.
The Voice has obviously come under some criticism over the years because there hasn't been a big star come from it. Well, there has been, but she didn't win. I've forgotten her name.
That's worrying when you don't remember.
She does a lot of like guest vocalist stuff. Yeah. What do you make of that?
I think that people... kind of under the illusion that once you've hit the telly, that's it, you've made it. And unfortunately, there's a lot more hard work that goes into being an artist. And that's not just for, like, those who've won or those who have appeared. Like, we work really hard to get to that point. And there's an illusion that you don't work hard. Like, oh, you just got picked on the telly.
Yeah, totally.
And then there's also the other side of it is afterwards, unless you have, like, a lot of financial backing or a big record label, it's really hard to keep... present in people's minds.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's still work.
It's still work. It doesn't just happen overnight. So it's all about building that and, you know, building a career.
Yeah, and it's hard in whatever career you choose, right?
Tough, no matter what. The music industry is one of the hardest. I mean, how many other judges as well? I mean, I know you adore Ollie, obviously, with all the chemistry. But how are the others? How did you find Will I Am?
Will I Am was a bit... He's
busy on his phone most of the time.
He was. I don't want to speak ill of anybody.
Speak
but a lot
honestly.
Of the time, he was quite distracted. And he's a very eccentric person. So, like, he's always nice when I met him. He was always friendly and, you know... But he's quite distracted. What you see is what you get. So, you know, you see him on his phone.
Did you feel
much
that?
Exactly what
did you feel that he wasn't really connected? He was distant and somewhere else in a way.
Yes, I guess so. And that's probably one of the reasons why I didn't choose him. You know, I had before I went on the show. I had it in my head that if Will turned for me, because I'm a music producer as well. Like I want, you know, I admire what he does. I had it in my head. Maybe that would be nice if he was to turn for me, and he did, and he just didn't sell it. Obviously, you guys only get to see a really small snippet of the pictures at home, so I got loads of people saying, why didn't you go for Will?
Would you say his heart isn't truly in it, if you're being honest.
Are you going to quote me?
No. This is going to end up. What is that UK magazine?
No, no, right. No, we like, just be, I mean, as honestly.
I
as,
didn't say that, but I like, you can see my face right now.
Ian Boldsworth on Free Bar Radio.
So we're joined now on the phone by Mike McShane. Mike, you there?
Yeah.
I was speaking about Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. I went to see it at the theatre the other week and I found it quite uncomfortable. But again, as I mentioned it before, I'm also, as an artistic person, I'm like, I don't think something needs to be censored in some way.
Wait a second, Ian. Let me get this straight. You're uncomfortable with suppressing and crushing free speech and thought just because you're uncomfortable? Hey, you want to go talk to our fucking president?
I know. I feel like I might be being progressive and I don't like it.
Oh, you'll find that out. You'll find that out because we have, you know, here we have Hollywood is like a box of chocolates, bite into each one, and there's a progressive asshole in it. And they I believe
right.
in each and pure water, and I don't like factory farming for you guys. I'm a 10-time Academy Award-winning actor, I live in a compound like, well, a well-preserved buffalo, and my food is droned into me. I have locally sourced beef that's put to sleep by being choked by a silk scarf while Elgar plays in the background.
I hear you, man. I hear you, man. But you know what? Not enough people hear, not enough people hear us there, do they?
I just try to pull it out of a laugh, man.
Yeah,
pull out a laugh.
There are some people that would take that as a direct quote from you and then condemn you for it.
No, I do not. I mean, believe me. The gap, I mean, Hollywood really is, and it is a cliche. And because it's a cliche, there's got to be, you know, a sliver of truth in it.
Yeah.
That keeps bouncing, you know. But the wealth gap and the equality gap in this country has always been, to a degree, manifested in Hollywood once it got invented, especially once the studio system was fully in and sound had come. And then with the changes, you see that. And as actors, you know, as you get to be an older actor here, you find out, oh, wow, it is, yeah, it is like America right now.
Yeah.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville on FUBAR Radio.
Capo Lee joins me as my guest co-host. Obviously, Natalie's here as well, a.k.a. Sarah DeBund. I still got to explain that to you, Capo Lee, for the fourth time.
I still don't understand.
We'll explain it now in one fell swoop. But please, before we continue, just make a give a warm welcome to Jack James.
Hello.
This is a very random question. Cause what is your biggest fear?
My biggest fear.
It could be it. Mine's spiders.
Yours is spiders. I'm not gonna lie. I don't like snakes at all.
Oh, right. Really? Because I've got one back in there. I heard that. So my manager already told me this.
You're scared of snakes, aren't you, Nat?
You're very scared. Yeah. Who wouldn't be? I don't trust anyone that isn't.
Yeah.
Why
would
I'm
you
not scared
be?
Of snakes.
Why?
No.
The snake can kill you. And you're scared of spiders more.
Mm-mm. Mm. And when people put them on their necks and stuff, like,
yeah,
no,
I've put a snake. I've put snakes on my neck on many occasions.
Why?
Yeah, but you can't trust them though.
Yeah,
bruv, true.
From when the snake told Adam to do that apple stuff,
bruv,
he's going back.
Bruv, listen, that's the devil's creature.
Back in, that was my first experience.
Yeah,
of,
but nah, man.
And when Adam told that spider off too, do you remember?
Well, a spider appears in the Quran.
Oh, doing what?
Okay. I'm not religious myself, personally, but I've got a lot of Muslim friends. And I remember when I was a kid, I was going to kill it. I kill every spider I see, indiscriminately. Doesn't matter. We could be in a zoo. Yeah, and I'd probably try and kill the tarantula. Do you know what I mean?
Terrible.
I don't mind zoos,
though. You don't mind zoos?
No, I don't mind zoos. I love zoos, actually.
I do love zoos.
I do love animals.
Hate spiders.
What's your fear, Cafe? What's your biggest fear?
I've got a mad phobia of worms. I hate worms.
I can feel that, you know. Worms are weird.
They are. Do you know what it was, yeah? Like, I didn't really mind them when I was young, but then somebody started telling me facts that how they're man and woman, and if you cut a worm in half,
don't
it grows back.
Don't
like,
die.
You know,
it's
those
two worms.
That,
bruv, it becomes two worms or something.
Yeah, don't die.
When I heard that worms can't die like that, that's when my brain
like
started fizzing out.
Yeah, lobsters can't die of old age.
That sounds like a film, though. Worms
lobsters.
Can't die.
Lobsters.
No,
did
but
you know
they're, no, they're man and woman.
Yeah, that's weird. that makes worms trump
they're
lobsters.
They're man and woman.
Is that true?
So yeah, I think so. They're hermaphrodites?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Or maybe asexual.
But we know lobsters can die, because we Googled that after the show last week, do you remember? And it was proved that they weren't immortal.
Well, they can't die of old age. Right. That's what lobsters can't do. They can't die of old age.
But they can if you eat them.
So they'll just live forever.
And the environment could kill them or whatever. But technically, if the environment was perfect for them, they could live forever.
Wow.
Hmm. What?
That's a great fact.
Oh, worms are hermaphrodites. It's on screen. Each worm has both male and female organs.
That's mental.
See, you lot nearly took the fear away when you said they might not be, but it's all back now. Thanks.
They're just like little mini snakes, though. I see. It's kind of the same thing.
But they're worse.
No, but they've got no features. They're worse because they're just a snake's body. They're just a snake's body, if you think about it. You can't see features on a worm.
Does a worm recognize another worm, like when they're in their tunnels? Like, what's going on? Like, how? Like,
yeah, you used to be me. Yeah. What are you saying? Like, I haven't seen you since they cut grass. You got big cuz.
But how are they?
Oh my god.
How do they mate as well? They've got both.
With themselves.
Bro, this is why they're crazy.
Being a worm must be mental, actually. Worm's life. That's what. Yeah. Fuck a bug's life. That should have been in the film. It would have been. Would have been. Only Tarantino could direct Worm's Life. What? A Worm's Life.
Crazy.
Right. Have they got eyes? I've never really studied worms.
No, they're blind. They're
blind.
Are worms blind? Are they blind? Blind hermaphrodites that can't die.
They're blind. Oh,
they have no eyes.
No eyes.
They're psychopaths.
What is the point of a worm?
To scare you.
Oh yeah, no, it's to help. It's actually, they're really important. Actually, worms are actually really important, aren't they?
Well,
but like the ecosystem.
Right, I can tell you, if an earthworm is split in two, it will not become two new worms. So it's like twins. How does that work? It's the same worm, they're not, what? They both live though, right?
Right, listen.
They can't tell if they're travelling up or down. They are actually freaky. I'm with you. Like, that is... Whoa.
I told you.
Right. You know what it must be like? You remember Snake on the Nokia?
Yeah.
That's all you are. You just go about.
Yeah.
Whoa, okay.
Mental. Gosh. Mental.
One, when mating, another worm, and it says there, I don't know if B's been mating with them, join together with heads pointing in opposite directions. Sperm is passed from one worm to the other and stored in sacks. Like Christmas. Then a cocoon forms on each of us. On us. It's first person. This is a worm's perspective. Clearly, a worm.
A
worm has got in touch with the show on our clitellium as we back out of the narrowing cocoons. Eggs and sperm are deposited in the cocoon. That's nice to hear from a worm, though.
Thank you, worm. Earthworm Jim got in touch.
That's nice.
Old school. Cheers, mate.
I'm not worried someone that works here is a worm. And like, disguises himself as a human.
They don't want to be outed.
Worms, they could probably do that. They can do everything.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Psychopaths.
Fucking hell. That was interesting.
Knowledgeable.
for real. Back row and chill on Fubar Radio.
Right, okay. I can confirm we have our last guest on the line. So technology willing, we're gonna get him on. Hopefully Chris Addison is on the line. Let's have a little look. Chris, are you there?
It's true, I'm here. I'm here using the magic of telephones.
It's magic, isn't it? I still don't know how they work.
But I don't know either.
I can hear you and you're live on Fubar Radio. Thank you for joining us.
That's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Chris, you're known for your comedy and your acting and your directing. Why the move to the opera show?
Well, it's not really a move. Is it a move? I suppose it's just me doing a thing that I really like. So I've been a fan of opera for years. I've come down to Glyndebourne every summer for the last 20 years or so.
Okay.
And I love it. It's just the most incredible art form. It's the best singing you could possibly hear at close range. It's amazing. It's beautiful and moving and all of the things that you want out of going to see somebody performing. And so when the opportunity to get involved with this came up, I jumped at it because it's always been a passion, but never been something that I do in my work.
And Chris, have you seen the Amadeus production at the National?
Do you know what? I still haven't because I couldn't get tickets. Have you seen it?
Yes,
is it amazing?
Yeah, it is, and it's a really clever. It's almost a modernised version. It's half modern, half true to the sort of original 18th century. Like, so they have mobile phones, but they're in costume and Mozart wears Doc Martens, and it's just
good.
It's so good
because
I think it's shows like Amadeus and maybe like Phantom of the Opera. They are really my growing up. They were my only real experience of opera.
Yeah. Mm.
So this is kind of cool. Sky Arts is making a move for young people, making opera cool.
Can I?
Yeah. because the thing about it is, right, it's obviously, it's one of those things that you hear that word and instantly in your head you sort of see people in tiaras and dicky bows and all of that eating caviar off poor people. None of it is actually like that.
Yeah.
I was telling this story the other day about, like, the best thing I ever saw in a comedy club was, like, about 20 years ago when I started out. It was in a really, but, you know, back before the smoking ban and all that, proper smoky, stale beer and sweat kind of comedy club.
Yes.
It was a Friday night with a properly drunk crowd, and the MC said, just doing that kind of, what do you do, to the audience? And this girl said, I'm an opera student. And he went, shut up. Go on then, sing us a song. And she stood up and she sang this song, which I didn't, like, I know where that's from now, but I didn't then. All I knew was I'd heard it on adverts and in films and stuff. And she sang this song, a song called O Mio Bambino Caro by Puccini. It's so beautiful. And no one was expecting her to do it. But she stood up and she started to sing, and people immediately went silent. Like a proper drunk Friday night crowd went totally silent.
Yeah.
And when she finished, they went lunatic, like proper kind of X Factor winner crazy. Because it's just, you're hearing a human doing a superhuman thing. Because they're using the voice, which is like the most basic instrument you could use, in the most ninja of possible way. There's something incredibly moving about it for any. It just sort of strikes you, right? And it makes your bones shake. It's sort of, it's just there. It's there in you to sort of hear that and be moved by it. And that entire crowd, who are very, you know, a very tough bunch of Mancunians, were just on the ceiling by the end of it.
Stay home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.